Wake Up Call on WTLS continues. It's 7:28. Dr. Brock Nolan, Acting Superintendent, Tallahassee City Schools, here with us. Heather Johnson as well, off the task force to reopen the schools. Appreciate you both coming in this morning. Good to see you.
Yes, sir. Good to see you.
Well, let's talk about the meeting last night. I guess you can begin there, Brock. I know a lot of people saw this last night on the Zoom, and obviously a plan to go back to school on August the 19th here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I think the board meeting went really well last night. We had a full attendance of our board members, which is first time we've all gotten together since, you know, COVID hit. Most of the time we're doing board meetings via Zoom.
Yeah.
So they all attended. We had a good participation in our crowd, and you know, overall the meeting went, you know, really smoothly. I think the only hiccup was the Zoom participation. You know, our license, you know,
last only 100.
That's
right.
When we hit 100, and the thing is, I actually did a test last week with our faculty and staff just to see how many, you know, what would happen, and we hit 99. And so I never had a pop up that said your license is, you know, been maxed out.
Yeah.
So otherwise we'd have, you know, step back and up that for last night.
And that may be the only occasion where you have that, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
That's right. You know, if we had 100 participants in every board meeting, that would be great.
Yeah, right. Those will peak at times, but that's not the norm for sure. But some of the things we talked about last night, I guess you can kind of lay out the plan. We mentioned earlier this morning, but that you are going to return the day you have scheduled, which is the 19th again. And that the parents will have an option of virtual or in classroom, and it will be a blended method for those who choose the classroom method to
begin
with.
That's right. The survey went out last night, and as of this morning, I looked, and we had about 275 respondents already. Of those, 80% chose to come back. You know, 20% are looking at a virtual option, and so those are basically the two choices right now. You know, the task force settled on a soft opening, as we're calling it, where we're splitting the population as they come back into the brick and mortar setting. You know, we want to capitalize on social distancing. That's the one tenet that you see. It doesn't matter where you read or what research you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, mask or no mask, social distancing. And so how do you accomplish that without, you know, or some semblance of that without having at least half your population? And it's not just consideration of the students, but the faculty also. If you look at Dr. Williams down in Selma, they went all virtual because only about 25% of their faculty said they were going to come back on day one.
Hmm.
You know,
and, hadn't thought about the faculty side of it.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing, you know.
Now, what are you getting from the faculty? I know you just mentioned the parents and guardians of the kids that said, you know, 80% we'd like to come back. What do you get from the faculty?
Well, out of the 127 faculty that responded to our initial survey, most of them said, you know, roughly 70% said we want to come back and see
our
babies.
That's strong, yeah. Compared to 25%.
It is, exactly. And so, you know, I mentioned that last night during the meeting.
Yeah.
Both the parents and the faculty, you know, the majority of them that responded said, we want to move toward getting back in school.
Is it an issue for you, for those who say, I can't come back, I'm concerned about my health? I'm talking about teachers and
teachers-wise, oh, yeah, definitely. Whenever we, you know, once we have a metric on how many parents, what they're choosing, then we're going to have to pair our resources, our teachers, and, you know, make that happen. So some of our teachers may end up facilitating online classes, you know, virtual classes. You know, our virtual option through Edgenuity is actually a self-paced program. So the child logs on, and they complete their lessons in units. There's a teacher, a video lesson. They can circle back, you know, watch it again until they can get it. You know, and then our teachers would come in as a support for that curriculum. Our teacher can watch a status bar. You know, green means the child's on pace to complete. Yellow means, hey, there's something coming up. And red obviously means you're behind the pace. And the pace is set basically for the 4-week mark and for the 9-week mark. And so, you know, whenever we have our staff meetings last night, all of our principals had Zoom meetings with their faculty last night to field questions. And, you know, it's hard to roll something out and really meet every stakeholder group at the same time. There's always going to be somebody that says, hey, I didn't know about this up front. Or, you know, and from my perspective, you know, our board as our governing body had to put a stamp of approval or at least know about something before I can roll it out and discuss it with lots of other people. And so
exactly,
that's kind of where we went last night.
Well, how does it differ? And obviously it will, from what we finished the year with this past school year with a virtual only for everybody to coming back. If you choose the virtual method now, and obviously some are going to be virtual. Well, everybody's going to be virtual to begin with a soft opening.
Well, Michael, you have three children. How did it go for you?
It was interesting.
Yes, sir.
I'll say
that's
that.
What I would say.
You know, it was. I guess here I'll give you my account of it because I helped. You know, my wife did too. You know, we wanted to get the work done. It seemed like, I guess this was the thing I mentioned in the past, but there was a lot of busy work too that I would say, you know, doing puzzles, you know, circling names and, you know,
that's
stuff.
Right.
I didn't think that was necessary because we're working with them and we want to move through it. You want to get to the essential. I guess we're using that word
exactly
a lot,
right.
The essential work that needs to be done.
And the virtual program is set up that way that the teachers can actually pull some of the busy work, as you say, out and really concentrate on core standards.
Right.
You know, how does it going to look different? You know, my goal for that first 2 week, that rotational model, in answer to Mr. Miles Hathcock, and I appreciate those questions earlier because I was listening.
Yes.
Is that the students learn how to learn virtually. The teachers have practiced teaching virtually because you're not trained in a teacher preparation program for teaching virtually. You would think they would be doing that nowadays,
right.
And they probably are doing it more than they were 20 years ago. But, you know, that 2 week period, I have really little to no expectations for teachers inputting grades. I want the kids to understand how to come back to school with social distancing. I want the teachers to understand what it looks like with half the population and then prepare for the whole population given the circumstances after Labor Day.
So that's the answer to the question, why 2 weeks with not just going all in with something?
Yeah. If you dump everybody back in, number one, I have, you know, even though 80% of the parents you know, want to go all in and come back, you know, my faculty and staff, I have to consider them too, you know, and from a, if you want to go, you know, Henry Ford and say, you either come to work or you don't get a paycheck. That's just not the reality that we live in. You know, you have to consider all your employees and what their dynamic is. And education itself is a social dynamic. You know, we don't have the, we don't have you know, teachers running around in herds anywhere, and so you have to make sure that you're making good decisions not only for our students but our staff too.
Well, the teachers, and I'll let you chime in on this too, Heather. But I one more thing on that: will the teachers be moving from, you know, one class? Will they teach one class? I know because they some of them have specialties. So how will that work? And trying to keep the, you know, moving about between teachers and students from one classroom to another.
pre-K through eighth grade, they're going to be self-contained. It works really well K through six because all teachers K through six or pre-K through six are trained to teach all subjects. When you get into seventh and eighth grade, that's when you get into the specialty subjects. And at the middle school, it's pretty easily because they're pretty much in pods. They're very close together grade-wise. And so the homeroom will stay together and the teachers will rotate between the classes. And so we're trying to really limit movement of our students.
Gotcha.
Now, the high school, that is a different nut to crack. I will say that Coach Stewart and Miss Barron are working diligently on trying to make that work. And they came up with a traffic pattern. If you go to the high school and you look at walk in the main halls, you'll see kind of a traffic pattern laid out in tape. Now they're trying to work through those processes.
And I'll let you talk more on this. Heather is a member of the task force, someone who's been in the health committee for some time now. You know, obviously these things were considered on how we're going to make this safest for all the students and the faculty.
And that was the point I wanted to make, that this was a group decision under Dr. Nolan's leadership. You know, there, lots of people came together and really that was the number one priority all along was safety, not just for the students, but the faculty, the support staff, and everybody else that interacts with students that have to be in that building. And because if we're not doing this in a safe way, everyone's going to have to go home again. And that's really not what we want to do. The safer we can make the environment, the longer that we're going to be able to keep face-to-face interaction, which I don't think many parents, you know, everyone's got their own circumstances with their students. But for those that want their kids to come back to school, we need to create as safe an environment as we possibly can. And so that was really the primary focus is safety. And then how do we maximize the number of days that we're going to be able to have face-to-face interaction? Because we don't know how things are going to transition into the fall when we typically see larger numbers of other respiratory viruses circulating.
Yeah, and I wonder about that. If these dynamics change, obviously, I think everything could change. Good to you. That's what you said when I asked you. You said you can't predict the future.
Oh, no doubt. Brock, no doubt. If, and I'll say this, conditional statement, if we're able to roll in August the 19th and have our rotational model so that all of our children have at least 6 days of FaceTime with their teachers and 6 days of learning how to learn virtually, you know, we'll meet as a task force that second week, look at the conditions on the ground, see where we're at, and then come up with a sustainability decision. You know, I mentioned last night, this is a reopening plan. It's not a continuation plan. You know, how do you continue? Well, you got three options. Either you're going to go all virtual, which if we don't have our rotational model, then, you know, I want to say it's going to be better than it was in March. But, you know, our children hadn't exactly had training on how to learn virtually.
Yep.
You're going to end up with a blended model, because the blended model, if we continue that, if a child pops a temperature over 104 in the classroom, then guess what? All 15 or 30, if you're all in, and that teacher have to go home, you know, for that quarantine period.
Wow.
And so it's very likely you could possibly have a, you know, best case scenario, the child goes home and learns virtually for 14 days. And then it kind of goes down the continuum, the teacher and the classroom, the grade level or the hallway, the school. And so those are all decisions that are going to have to be made in real time.
Yeah. And I'll say this, even though it might have seemed, you know, inconvenient for people to have to just switch all of a sudden,
sure,
they didn't see it coming at the end of the school year. Yeah. It did give us a little bit of a heads up. And, yeah, and these kids, by being many of them with the iPad program,
yep,
are very familiar with it. I'm impressed with the way they can handle the devices. So that gives us a little bit of a heads up as well, you know, at least moving forward, a leg ahead. There are some measures that will be taking place every day at the school as you come in, temperature checks and those things. And Heather, you can talk about this,
sure,
too.
I will. And one of the things that, you know, we're fortunate that we have a nurse at each school.
Yeah.
There are districts that would love to have,
that's right,
a nurse at each school. And I think Dr. Nolan has made a good point that what we're trying to do won't work in many places. And so we're able to try the blended model. One of the things that is going to be, very important is screening starts at home. If your child has a fever, we really need them to stay home.
Or any other COVID-related symptom.
Any other COVID-related symptom. We really need them to stay home. And you know, through the opportunities that are going to be given early in the year, it's teaching these kids how to learn virtually. And so, you know, I think, you know, we've all got kids and folks. There's days that you're sick and you just don't feel good, but you can still get work done. And there's days when, you know, you're really in the bed sick.
Yes.
And so there's going to be opportunities for them to you know, the work's still going to have to get done. But again, the number one goal is create a safe environment as we can for the teachers, faculty, support staff, and students. And we do that by screening at home. If your kids are sick, the nurses are going to have kids that, you know, get sick during the day and have to take care of those. We want to not overwhelm, just like we don't want to overwhelm, you know, our healthcare system. We don't want to overwhelm the nurses, because there's always scrapes and bumps and stomach bugs and all this other stuff that goes on. And so really screening starts at home. But there are going to be measures taken as students for bus transportation and car riders. It's going to require patience. Most things we do,
definitely,
these days are hard. There's not, since March, pretty much everything we do has gotten harder than what it was in January. And so I think that the message for parents that from the task force is, we're doing the best we can with the resources we have to stay safe, to get kids as much, you know, face-to-face contact and, you know, virtual, mm-hmm, learning as we possibly can through an effective method. But we need the community's help on this.
How about this? You brought something up that I just thought about, the bus.
Sure.
There are a lot of buses. There are a lot of kids that are on the bus with different kids that they wouldn't be seeing during the day. And I,
sure,
know they're supposedly wearing a mask when they're on there. That's,
yep,
what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But there's going to be that interaction as well. That's kind of cross-pollinating this thing if it's around.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
right. Cross-pollinating. I like,
yeah,
that.
That's the first time I've used that
word.
Today.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm an agricultural man at heart. So, you know, I'll kind of go back. If you look at the greater Atlanta area, you know, Gwinnett County, 180,000 plus students. They just went virtual the other day. Cobb County virtual the other day. Tallahassee is unique that we have three schools, a small population, awesome teachers, supportive community, and that we could, you know, we can make this work. Otherwise, the decision would have been much easier. We're just going virtual. You know, that would not benefit anyone, not the staff, not the children. The bus ride, we have some of our instructional assistants that are willing to be trained on doing screenings. And they'll actually ride the bus routes in the morning with the bus driver. And, you know, we're still working out the details. But, you know, I asked last night that parents consider coming to the bus stop with their child so that if our six-year-old, you know, to use Miles' example, if our six-year-old has a temperature standing at the bus stop, then we're not forced as a district to put that child in a, you know, isolation seat in the front, because the bus is a confined space. If you choose to ride the bus, there's no way possible to reach 6 feet You know, if we did that, we'd be driving, busting them to school, they eat lunch, and then busting them back home.
Would you be checking them before they get on the bus? Is that the plan, or is it when they get to school off the bus?
Well, ideally, we check them before they load the bus.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, our bus routes are going to take a while. You know, ask parents to be patient with us.
How quick and easy is it to do a temperature check? I mean, a few seconds, or?
It's a thermal scan.
Yeah, they're doing
And obviously, that's not a surefire sign that they might have it anyway.
I mean, I know some are asymptomatic. They're doing that at football practice. They're doing it at dance practices. They're doing it at band practice. So there's teachers that are already doing it.
So as you walk in, you're getting checked at school and those types of things.
And that was one of the messages of the task force. It was, you know, we teachers and staff have started learning how to do this. And so we're taking these summer learnings when we're able to share that with other staff so that we can make it as easy as possible. But again, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But our goal is to have a safe and education.
And our car rider line.
Yeah, same
way. Those of you that have come through car rider line. And for our new parents, I know those are experiencing quite a bit of anxiety, our pre-K parents and our kindergarten. The elementary school is working hard to make sure that experience coming in is, you know, it's not going to look like it used to where you walk them down the hallway and, you know, mama's crying, and the child's crying. You know, they're going to have to separate at the door. But, you know, like I said, the elementary school is working on trying to make that as less traumatic as possible for those children and the mamas.
If you're a car rider, you're with your mother or whatever, you know, they check them right as they get out of the car. And if they're sick, you just get them back, put them back in the car and go home.
Just like,
but the bus, so it's a little different.
It is
a little
different.
You got a place to put them in kind of a quarantine chambers. What's the deal there?
Well, the idea is to, you know, again, for the parents, check them at home first.
Yes.
Please don't put us in that situation.
Right.
They'll be checked at the bus stop. If the parent is not there and we have a child that, you know, presents related symptoms, the six-year-old, we can't just turn them around and send them back. And so we'd be forced into a position to put them on in a bus, masked up, as with everyone else. But, you know, you'll have 50 to 60 kids on that bus, and then all of a sudden you got a situation where they're considered exposed, or a lot of them would be. And so your entire, you know, I mentioned classrooms, hallways, grade levels. You got a busload of children in different grade levels that may have to learn virtually for 14 days. And so, you know, we'd really ask parents to, you know, really, you know, vet symptoms. And with COVID, is the symptoms are so wide ranging. I wish I could just say, if you got a fever, stay home, but that's not reality.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Miss Johnson, you know, she's a medical professional and understands a lot more of the science. And, you know, the science says that the younger children are less susceptible to the virus than the older children. There's something around, I don't know.
It's in the middle school age. There's something in there. And one of the things that is important is that other countries that have opened schools don't have the level of community disease that we have in this country. And so when we talk about the support from the community, doing the things that are necessary that public health officials are already asking us to do, Alabama Department of Public Health is already asking us to do, continuing to do those things will help us lower the community pressure of disease on our students and in the local population. And so, you know, all of that is when we think about disease transmission, is so very important. But it is going to be even more important. I'm going to make this plug for Dr. Nolan. The information that the school district has put out there about what you know, about the plan, about, you know, the options you want for your students, please fill that information in, because that is going to help the district staff, the task force, continue to make plans for how we can safely progress through the school year.
Yeah. And to do so, you need to make a declaration, which one you choose, and it will be for the first 9 weeks by the 29th next week. So how do you do that?
You can go to the Tallahassee City Schools website, and there is a link to the parent survey. Our administrators will be pushing out school status links today to all parents on their listings. Go in there and make that declaration. Those that don't, you know, on the back end, we're going to be contacting you. You know, we'll kind of let it roll on to about Monday, and then I'm going to direct administrators and you know, counselors start calling the parents. And see which direction they're going.
Those people want to know, am I in Group A or Group B for the first few weeks here?
Yeah, and you know, that decision is, you know, really based on where we're at on Wednesday.
And I guess if you've got multiple kids in your family, they would be on the same day. You're trying to accommodate people there.
Yeah, that has been I go back to my point, Huntsville City Schools probably couldn't do this, but we have 1,600 students. And even that itself is an interesting prospect, because a lot of our children, a lot of our families are blended and don't have the same last name. You would think you could just make an Excel spreadsheet and then sort by last name, but it's not that easy. You know, it's really taken a lot of effort by our administrators to pare that down to what families live in the same home. And, you know, that's kind of the starting point. And I would say, you know, parents, you know, Mr. Hathcock, please be gracious with us. We're asking for 6 days to start school. All parents were asking for 6 days. You know, we're not asking for 3 months like we did in the spring. We're asking for 6 days so that we can have, you know, 6 days of FaceTime with all the children. The teachers understand what the expectations for coming back into school, because we left school in a, you know, snap of a finger. We were on Friday trying to make a decision on what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We didn't go back to school, you know, and so, you know, be gracious with us, and we appreciate your support.
They'll be wearing masks. Kids need to get the masks. I mean, is that something that would possibly be provided if they don't have one, or
what? The state actually bought 3 masks per student. Now, when we're going to get them, I don't know. You know, they're just like every other PPE.
Are there some guidelines on the type of mask that you have to have? Can you make your own? What's the deal?
Well, you know, we don't want anything mesh-wise or knitted or anything like that. You know, that kind of defeats the purpose. You know, anything that's considered within the lens of, you know, T-shirt or appropriate wear as far as messaging goes. You know, we don't want, you know, blatant messages or, you know, anything like that.
You
on
would
the
hope that would be self-explanatory.
Well, I've seen some interesting, you know, ones online, especially, you know, anyway, but, you know, I know our parents are going to make good decisions, and, you know, I don't want to get into the realm of parenting for somebody else. I have 3 children of my own. All of these decisions, not only am I vetting them through administrative lens, you know, I have to make a decision that's going to work for, I have a child at each one of our schools also. Mm-hmm. And so whatever decision I make, I get to hear about it at home, because my wife says, okay, what you're deciding is going to affect how I get the kids to school, how we teach our kids. And so I want all of our parents to understand that. I'm not up here at 35,000 feet making these decisions.
Right. I got the message yesterday. We've got kids in the middle school that there will be no beginner band.
Sure.
That's one of the things that we lose. But, you know, the extracurricular activities are up in the air. When do you expect we might know about those type things, like band, like football? Obviously, the HSA is meeting today.
Yeah. Well, let me speak about sixth grade band. And I did have a parent call me. We're not losing. We're just suspending. You know, I had a lot of blood and sweat in creating a sixth grade band years ago at the middle school. I spent hours and hours trying to come up with a schedule so that we could make that work. For years, we only had seventh and eighth grade band. And actually, the idea was Mr. Glasscock, you know, as the, he's on the task force. And as we mulled over how to make this self-contained model work, really the sixth grade band kept coming up. You know, if we could suspend sixth grade band for the year, we believe we could really make it work. And so, you know, the task force as a whole said, okay, well, let's consider suspending it for the year. And Mr. Glasscock said, well, it'll be just like our first year. We'll have 2 beginner bands next year. And I said, okay, if you're okay with that, then that's the direction we'll go. And that'll help make our self-contained model work so that we don't have children, you know, moving in the hallways. We've got bottle stations ordered, the water fountains, traditional water fountains, you know, which are really, we clean them as much as possible, but there's kind of a... For my semi-germaphobe myself.
She just quivered when you said that. Something about a water fountain.
You know, petri dish.
So we've got those bottle filling stations ordered, and I hope to have several of those per campus. We ask the parents to send bottled water or a thermos for hydration purposes. You know, we'll eat lunch in the classrooms. We'll have a grab-and-go style set up at each campus. And we ask the parents to use the My School Bucks app or website to load their lunch accounts, because that helps with transmission of, you know, money and paper and stuff like that amongst our faculty and staff. And, you know, there's been a lot of thought and process put into this. And again, I'll ask for, you know, our parents to be gracious, and, you know, for our first 2 weeks, let us have the opportunity to learn this. You know, the medical community they've had 6 months on trying to figure this thing out.
And we're still learning.
We're still learning. Do you think
there's a vaccine close, Heather? Can I get your prediction on that?
No prediction coming. Lots of good research going on.
Yeah.
Lots of early evidence coming in. But I think the other thing is that this, as Dr. Nolan said, this is a plan. This is what we're going to make work. But just like last year, you know, school was closed as we were making plans to come back.
Right.
You know, sometimes this decision could be taken out of local control by the state. Sometimes situation on the ground may cause, you know, the task force, the board administration to have to make some adjustments to what's going on. And I think that's one thing that I want people to remember, is that this is still an evolving and changing situation. We're going to do what we can to make it as safe as we can for everybody. and to promote learning as much as we can. But I don't, this is not a static situation yet. We're going to have to continue to be able to flex and do hard things.
Yeah, and I don't see it being static even if we're able to roll into a brick and mortar setting. I mean, that's still going to be a day-to-day, week-to-week decision-making process. And it's a great time to be a superintendent, Michael.
You did say that. Yep. You really are getting a lot of stuff. I didn't get into the high school stuff, but we'll do that another day because got a lot more.
Just as God prepared Esther, he's prepared me for this time.
That's true. We will have you on regularly to kind of give updates. Appreciate you both being here today.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Good luck with things. Yeah, you got a lot on the plate. I know that. Appreciate you both, what you're doing, and everybody else involved. Heather Johnson on the task force with Dr. Brock Nolan, acting superintendent of Tattlesee City Schools. We'll come back with more on the Wake Up Call.